It is a good day for the Chicago White Sox. Welcome into the Windy City White Sox podcast. We've got the King, we've got Mo, and we've got Courtney coming up. And we've got Lance Lynn in a White Sox uniform for at least two more years, maybe three. He gets $18.5 million in 2022 and 2023. And then there's an $18 million option for 2024. This is exactly the way you wanted it to go when you made the trade with Dane Dunning, giving up a pretty good young pitcher for a ace, I guess. I mean, pitching in the All-Star game, started out the season on an incredible streak. What do you have, 18 and two-thirds innings without an earned run, which was the longest, by the way, for a White Sox starter since, that's right, you knew it, 1976, when Wilbur Wood had a 21 inning streak to start the season. The dude's been great since he stepped onto the field at Guaranteed Rate Field. 34 years old, is going to be a free agent in the offseason, so you've got him, you're 35, you're 36, and maybe even 37. He's everything, right, the South Side wants. Grit, and he wants to be here. How about, I mean, I think the favorite thing that you saw is him saying today in his presser, there's no point in going to free agency if you know where you want to be. That is affirmation for the city of Chicago, and even more so affirmation for the White Sox and the way they are going about their business. He likes the clubhouse. He likes the manager. He likes the organization. And sure, he likes the money as well. But I would think that Lance could have gotten certainly right around there, if not more, in the offseason. So clearly he's enjoying his time on the South Side, which is sweet. And obviously the history with Tony, maybe that's a factor. I don't know. But, of course, he did break in with the Cardinals back in 2011. And for the record now, he's made 252 starts in his career. He's 113-74, 3.48 career ERA. This year could go down as his best, 199 right now. And I've been sitting there talking to myself the last couple of days, last couple of years, this lifetime. But the question the last couple of days has been, who do the White Sox start in an opening round playoff series? Who are the three starters, right? Lynn's definitely one of them, obviously. But then the other two, is Carlos Rodon in there? I think he is. But what happens if it's a team that hits lefties well? Would then perhaps you go a different direction? I don't know. You wouldn't, in theory, go Rodon and Keuchel, right? Two lefties, so maybe only one. Keuchel's not there. I would think he's coming out of the bullpen. And then you go with Giolito, Lance, and Rodon. But you're at that point, you're also leaving off Dylan Cease, which I think everybody says, yeah, you leave off Dylan Cease. But Cease had some nasty stuff going in his last start. So, yeah, it's an interesting question, but maybe these things will work their way out as we slowly get towards the playoff here, sitting on July 17th. We recorded yesterday, but recording the open right now with Lance Lynn signed and the White Sox losing last night 7-1. So they're now 0-5 versus the Astros. And they've been outscored 34-9. None of that is good, to overstate the obvious. So if the rest of the weekend goes this way, that ain't great, but I suppose it's July. But it is striking, and I think Rick Hahn is obviously paying attention to additions needed in the bullpen for sure, and perhaps second base as well, and maybe even in the outfield. We'll see. All right. The Windy City Podcast is brought to you again by... They're back. That's right. Manscaped. Summer is here. Are you ready to unveil that beach bod? I know you are. You look good. You're also in luck, by the way, our friends at Manscaped. They're launching their fourth generation performance package. You get the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. And you can complement your summer look with a trim from the leaders in male grooming, Sunshining. And calling your name, sir, join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. And get ready for hot guy summer. Go to manscaped.com. You get 20% off. You get free shipping. Put in that code FANSIDED20 Fansided 20, the Lawnmower 4.0, the Performance Package 4.0. It's awesome. The trimmer's insane. And yes, some would call it, including yours truly, the GOAT, Michael Jeffrey Jordan of all ball trimmers. Here we go. The King, Courtney Moe, the Windy City White Sox podcast right now.
Showtime.
What did you just say?
It's harder to get in this fucking podcast than it is the World Series, of which the White Sox will be in. But, oh, my God, let's not make it so hard.
So let me ask you a question. How come when I send the email to Courtney, Moe, and you, your email, for whatever reason,
I just got it. And then I go the link, and I'm sitting there waiting for, 90 seconds.
You weren't waiting 90 seconds. You were at best waiting 9 seconds.
Whatever.
I think you're caught in basically two lies here. Number one, it wasn't 90. And number two, you're telling me that the King's email, by the way, you're the King, so your email should move the fastest.
It's slower. It's slower today. I'm sorry, but it was slow.
King's in his car. This is a whole nother animal. All right.
He's in their cars today, except you and I, Mark. What the hell, man?
Yeah, I'm at the office. I'm a professional.
You're a professional man.
That's right. I will trade you Baez, Bryant, and Kimbrel. You can have all three, and all you got to do is give me Michael Kopech. You in?
No.
I wouldn't do that.
Absolutely not.
So do you think that if you had Baez, Bryant, and Kimbrel, you'd win the World Series?
I do. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. I think they're both. Kimbrel's having a very good year this year. I think Baez and Bryant, they're average at best. I really do. I think Kopech is going to be a very formidable starter next year for us, and you can't give up that arm. Absolutely not.
Can't give it up right now. So in that middle relief, Kimbrel is not a middle reliever. He's going to have a tough transition.
He's an elite closer is what he is.
An elite closer. We already have an elite closer. Bryant is on the downside of his career, and there's something wrong with Baez. So
I actually agree with King here. I do. I agree. I fully agree. God.
So let me ask you this. Are the White Sox going to win the World Series?
Yes.
Do they need any help?
Yes.
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 Okay. What help do they need?
They do need a reliever. I they brought up Ronaldo Lopez today, which is odd. Ronaldo Lopez, a little bit of a head case from what I've heard. And I guess if you stick him in a middle reliever role, he might be a little different. But even his ERA in Charlotte was not good. So that's a little bit of a questionable move. Maybe showcasing him for the next few weeks for a trade. But I still don't feel comfortable going into the playoffs with this bullpen the way it is right now. So I'm very, very strong about getting a reliever.
Mo, get in here.
We need a reliever. We need a reliever. We need a catcher. And we need a player like Frazier who can bounce between the infield and
Escobar.
And then I think we're in a good spot.
So, okay, you need a second baseman.
No, we do not want Baez. We do not want Baez. We do not want Bryan, and we don't want Kimbrel.
And I don't want Trevor Story.
Okay, hold on. Let me rewind back. When they made the Quintana trade, did you like that trade?
Loved it.
Of course.
I was a little disappointed, not going to lie.
Thank you.
I thought they were getting guys that were younger. I'm being honest. I've changed my mind. But at the time, I was a little disappointed that they were getting guys that were so far away. But the timeline worked for them.
And you
were
helping.
What does that have to do with this?
Because you're – it has everything to do with this in that you just don't want to make a trade with the Cubs.
It's nothing to do with the Cubs. Maybe for Mo. I just don't think that's a good talent exchange at this time in their careers.
Fully agreed.
Okay. Craig Kimbrel's one of the best relievers in baseball right now.
We have one of the best relievers.
Terrible last year.
We have the best reliever in baseball.
That's not the point. You need relief help. I'm giving you one of the best relievers in baseball.
You're giving me a closer that's used to being a closer. We have a closer. Give me somebody else. Give me something more creative. Fit a square peg in a round hole, Mark.
We need a consistent sixth, seventh, eighth guy. We need a guy that can potentially be a bridge to Hendricks, and he has to be consistent. Kimbrel's not that. He's a closer. That's not what we need.
Okay. I mean, I think that Craig Kimbrel would be phenomenal in the eighth inning. It would
Mark,
be
Mark. You're asking if we want to give up on Michael Kopech, and I would say no to that trade.
Well, I'm just asking. So, is there in any scenario right now, you're not trading Kopech? Period.
Oh no, I did not say that.
Well, I think Mo did.
I would not trade him unless it was somebody who, for 3, 4, 5 years, would be a difference maker for the White Sox. I'm not giving him up for you tell me, but I think what, two of those guys are free agents after this season, and Kimbrel may or may not be. I'm not doing that. I'm not. There's no way.
Mo's a very smart man.
Feel free to use that for the title of the podcast, by the way, Mark.
What do you want the title of the podcast to be?
Mo is a very smart man.
Okay, we can do that. No problem.
Mark Harmon. Put that underneath.
Actually, I don't think we can do that because that's probably not going to move the needle, but I will definitely put it in the description of the podcast. Smart man Mo leads the podcast. That'll be in there. I don't know if you guys read my amazing descriptions, but you should. This weekend, the Houston Astros are here. They absolutely smoked the White Sox in Houston. Tony La Russa and Dusty Baker, by the way, is a very interesting little component for this weekend. Those two straight hate each other. Tony, there was rumors that Dusty was going to be the manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, and Tony La Russa said, no, that's not going to happen, and stopped it when he was an advisor. They, of course, battled when La Russa was with the Cardinals and Dusty was with the Cubs. You might remember back in the day that Dusty played on the Oakland A's along, and Tony was the manager, and La Russa did not treat him particularly well then. Plus, you've got the two best teams arguably in the American League going against each other. I love the dynamic of this weekend, for the record.
I do as well, and I will be there tonight representing the White Sox Nation, as I always do. So I'm excited to go back to the park. I'm excited to have a beer, and I'm excited to see the White Sox turn around against Houston finally.
And the fireworks after the game.
Yes, thank you. I haven't seen a fireworks show at Sox Park in 2 years, man. I'm very excited for that. Thank you.
For the record, I will be going tomorrow night. My good friend, Mike Jacobson, who passed away, they are honoring him tomorrow. So we've got all the food and beverage you can consume hanging out in center field for the Jackal tomorrow night. So it'll be my first trip to Guaranteed Rate in quite some time. Looking forward to it. So yeah, big weekend but I do think this is at least somewhat of a statement weekend for the Sox. You get
it is, but right? Let's go back to the Tony La Russa, Dusty Baker. I think Tony is a more adept manager in terms of using data. Dusty uses more feel. I think Tony uses data and feel.
What makes you think that Dusty doesn't use data, for one?
Just through his comments one, he has said it before that he does more on feel than he does data. And secondly, just on the comments that he makes in the press, he doesn't win the big one. Tony La Russa is more of an a-hole to the players, but they win. And that's what the name of the game is, to win a World Series. Let's go back to the seventh game. Who do you want in there? Dusty Baker or Tony La Russa?
I wouldn't disagree with that. I would take La Russa over Dusty.
I would as well.
The guy's won 1,912 games as a manager. He was an incredible player. He belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Would you consider him? You know, so you're going to consider him a Hall of Fame manager with the
Hall of Fame.
Anderson. Do you think he's as good as Sparky Anderson?
He's a three-time manager of the year.
He's as good as Sparky Anderson, Hall of Fame manager?
I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame just for his managerial career.
He's
a Hall of Famer for his overall contribution to the game of baseball. He's a two-time All-Star. He's a World Series champion. He's an NLCS MVP. He's a Gold Glove winner. He's a two-time Silver Slugger. He's a three-time Manager of the Year. The dude absolutely belongs in the Hall of Fame. He was on deck when Henry Aaron hit 715. That counts,
Mark,
too.
Would you put him into the Hall of Fame as a player or a manager, are you going to open up a new lifetime achievement award?
Overall contribution to the game.
Okay.
I agree.
All right. I didn't know there was a classification that was Hall of Fame for overall contribution of the game.
I don't care what the rules are for the Hall of Fame. I'm just telling you, that guy's baseball career. It's like, it was the same thing. There's a lot of guys who have given a ton to the game who belong as a historical piece in the Hall of Fame, like a guy like Bill Veeck, White Sox owner back in the day. But there's also dudes, they're very rare. I mean, Mo, help me out here. How many people have had the level of career on the field and in the dugout of Dusty? Does anyone even pop to mind off the top of your head?
Maybe Joe Torre.
That's a good one, Courtney. Joe Torre had 252 career homers. It's actually closer than I thought. That's a good call.
As always.
How about Ozzie Guillen?
I appreciate that.
I was actually thinking that, but I don't think his numbers will match up to Dusty's overall.
Ozzie and Dusty is not a good fit.
But he has one thing Dusty doesn't have, and that's a World Series championship.
Two World Series championships.
Oh, that's right.
I just want to know, why are we talking about Dusty Baker? Who cares? We're in first place.
I actually agree with Mo on that. We've been talking about Dusty way too long. I don't know why. I think it's King making us go into a tangent.
Mark started this.
I started this one because I find the weekend matchup of because the Astros and the White Sox are the two best teams in the American League. Those two have huge history together against each other. They hate each other. Certainly Dusty hates Tony. I don't know. I think Tony probably just doesn't like Dusty is how it would go. And Dusty kicked the White Sox's ass. Now, by the way, you could also make the argument, King, you're going to hate this one. But a lot of people will say that managers don't matter. I mean, what Dusty's just hanging out, putting out his lineup, and some would say that Tony's doing the same. So maybe, like, this is the fact that these two are having such enormous level of success this year might speak to the fact that managers are less and less important considering today's baseball analytical world. What do you think of that?
I fully disagree with that. Managers,
oh my God, Courtney, did something happen to Mark? Did he lose his mind?
Yeah, it's all these questions, Mark, man.
You're a terrible host today. Hey, let's make Mo host. Mo, let's talk baseball. And I know last time I started off, let's talk White Sox baseball, and I got lambasted for saying that, but I still stick with that. Let's talk White Sox baseball, for God's sake.
For God's sake. One of the rules in podcasting is never attack the host, because I'm an amazing host and this is a great conversation.
Normally you are. Today you're a little off, and that's
okay. I don't think I am.
We're coming out of the All-Star break, but let's get back into the flow and talk some White Sox baseball.
We're in the flow. This is the flow. You guys have established that you want a reliever, you want a second baseman. Mo, you wanted to hit on something of the very key importance, which is your biggest surprise of the first half. Why don't we throw that around the horn here? Biggest surprises of the first half as we move into White Sox and Astros, huge series, Southside, Courtney there Friday, Carm there on Saturday. Give me your biggest surprise.
Just kind of starting off here, I think the contributions of players that you would never expect to contribute has been the biggest surprise for me. You know, the Jake Lambs, the Billy Hamiltons, Brian Goodwin. To me, that has been the most shocking and probably the coolest thing about this season has been that. You know, I've always said it the past couple weeks, I'm waiting for these guys to kind of figure out that they're not supposed to be playing this well, but they haven't done that yet. So I think to me, that's been the biggest, the coolest thing to see overall. And then obviously just, you know, the dominance of like a Carlos Rodon and a Lance Lynn. I think that's been fantastic. The bounce back of Rodon has been phenomenal to see. And that to me has been the strongest points so far.
Next.
The biggest surprise for me has been the injuries. Everything else, the winning ways, the pitching, the managing, that's all been expected and just welcomed and you know, just so happy with it. But the injuries have been a big surprise. Other than that, I expected to be 8 to 10 games up, and we're 8 to 10 games up.
I know. Listen, you're not the least bit surprised that Carlos Rodon is 7-3 and played in the All-Star game in 89 and two-thirds innings, given up 60 hits, has a whip under one. None of this is a surprise to the King. No,
In fact, you can call up Brooks Boyer, who's head of sales and marketing with the Chicago White Sox, and you can ask him who Carlos Rodon's biggest fan was, and he will tell you his only fan was the King. I am not surprised by Rodon. I said the kid had a lot to prove on his contract year and that he would be back strong. He's a big-hearted kid with a big body, and he has a lot to prove, and he's doing exactly what I expected. There is zero surprise in Rodon from the King's perspective. Zero.
King talks about bodies and asses on the White Sox way more than I do, and I got to say I appreciate it. Just a little sidebar there.
Good job, King. We're all now focused on the rump of Carlos Rodon.
Big body. It's good. It's good stuff.
King also knew that Lance Lynn would have 9 wins, would have an ERA under 2. Everybody knew that.
I did not know that. I did not know that, but I did know that it was a solid acquisition because of how deep he would go in a game. That guy can carry a big suitcase filled with a lot of innings. We did know that.
That might be the first time that's ever been said, big suitcase with a lot of innings. I like it. Mo, biggest surprise. Go ahead, buddy.
No, I think Courtney's list covers it. I think, you know, Mercedes being as great and then how quickly he became not great was a big surprise. The thing that surprises me the most, and this is sort of a disappointment too, is, you know, everybody was excited for Ethan Katz to join the Sox. They thought he would help the pitching staff in so many ways he has, but the person who seemingly hasn't benefited from it is the guy who he's worked with before, is Giolito. I was thinking Giolito was primed to have a huge year, and so far he hasn't. So that has been a surprise because, again, I thought with Katz coming over, I thought the two of them would click like they have in the past.
It's a great call. That's an excellent point out, a good underlining. Does that mean that Lucas's performance in the first half is your biggest disappointment?
Aside from the injuries, I think it has.
I would agree with that. That's actually a really good point, Mo. I like that correlation you just made. That was good.
I agree with Mo. Mo's by far is the most talented one on this podcast today. I just want to put that out.
My biggest disappointment, Michael Kopech going out with the whatever that was, leg injury. That in a seemingly just standard moment in time, not covering first, not trying to field a bunt, nothing, just throwing a pitch. That was disappointing. And, you know, he's only been in 18 games to this point is just too bad. But maybe
Mark, the silver lining to that, though, is that they were going to manage his innings, and him being out means, you know, they don't have to be as aggressive in terms of limiting his innings, right? Because he got some rest. So while not ideal, he actually, you know, benefits in some ways because it's less innings he's going to throw then.
That there is the silver lining, and you just channeled your King as well as you could. But I just, you know, for a guy who's been in and out and mainly out of the lineup, you know, out of playing the game, I was just hoping he would have a very consistent season of being on the field. And if you're just asking me like in the moment when he got hurt, I was like, oh, that freaking sucks. But I do give the White Sox credit in that they clearly did not rush him back at all. Very much took care of the player. So that,
you know, what was another disappointment was the fact that Tim Anderson didn't get a one at bat in the All-Star game on Tuesday. That was disappointing.
I would agree, but he also was an alternate, right? I mean,
yeah, but okay.
I'm going to agree with Carmen as much as it pains me. The fact that he was an alternate, I think, like, Not that it wouldn't have been great to see him, and hopefully it motivates him, but the fact that he was an alternate and, you know, it happens sometimes.
What's his face got 3 at-bats from Boston? I can't even think of his name right now. Is it Bogarts?
Xander Bogarts.
Yeah, he got 3 at-bats. I think that was a little excessive. It's an All-Star game.
I agree with that take. Listen, if you at the end of the day, if you go, you should get an AB, but getting in the game is just lovely. Speaking of that, by the way, did you miss seeing both Rodon and I guess and Tim wearing a White Sox uniform? And did you like the new look of Major League Baseball's All-Star game?
Loved it. Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Ken, you wouldn't rather see the boys wearing our uniform instead of ugly
stuff?
No,
I loved it. I loved the uniformity of it and then just the logo. I thought it was really sharp. I thought it was I thought it just brought a
Courtney, unity. Go get him. He's so wrong. Get him.
I mean, wouldn't you rather see our boys representing our colors in the All-Star?
Nope. And yes. I don't mind that Timmy Anderson didn't get an at-bat. Because here's what I believe it will do for him. I think it was completely appropriate, and it'll give him fuel to have a MVP second half of the year. I think we're going to see, starting tonight against Houston, I think we're going to see a 260 hit or 360 hitter out of Anderson the rest of the way.
I mean, there's no question. I actually think he's going to hit 500. All right, it is July the 16th as we record this. The White Sox and the Astros tonight. Dylan Cease, Lance McCullers, as we're running out of time on the pod. Giolito and Odorizzi tomorrow. Rodon, Valdez on Sunday. I want you guys to go on record on this Friday. What day, date, give me the date that the White Sox clinch the AL Central?
September 13th.
Early clinch for Courtney, September the 13th. That would be an off day on a Monday. They would be watching and living the dream.
September 14th, Ben. September 14th.
September 14th at home versus the Angels, clinching against Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani, Joe Maddon and company. Mo.
September 18th.
September 18th, a Saturday at Texas. Let's go. We don't need to worry about the fact that Dane Dunning could be on the mound for the Rangers on that September the 18th. King, what do you got?
9/11, Saturday, 9/11. And I will be there.
September the 11th versus the Boston Red Sox.
Yep.
The earliest clinch in White Sox history. I expected you to say sometime in August, but you will go with September the 11th. You're going to that game, King?
I will be there for that reason.
I will be there. I will be there as well, King. I'll be there as well.
How do you guys plan your lives like that? How do you even know such a thing?
I know it's a Saturday. I know I'll be there. I know they'll clinch.
Correct. It's my season ticket package, Mark. You should look into season tickets like I have. It's great.
What's your package, Courtney?
You know, it's changed since COVID, but it's usually the 20 game package.
You shouldn't be asking Courtney about her package either, Mark Garman. It's none of your business. What is your business is you should have a package. You should have a ticket package.
Oh, wow.
And Lance Lynn is one of the elite pitchers in baseball. It's going to be an outside fastball. Let's see if he can throw it by Loopy.
Oh, I did.
This program was recorded on tape for a live audience.
Merrifield singled in the third. Swing and a miss.
Struck him out. Low fastball, Lance Lynn.
Got eight outs to find in this seven-inning game.
That's one of them. It's high heat. Lynn takes Mullins down.